Thank you, Richard, for leading for us this evening, and thank you for reading those words in Acts chapter 1, because those words remind us and remind the church what we should be doing and what the Lord wants us to do. And that's what we've been thinking about these past few Sunday evenings, thinking about serving God. And I reckon by now we know what we should be doing. We should be going and making disciples of all nations. But tonight we're going to start thinking about how to do that. I said last week that these next few nights will be more practical, and I trust they will. We're going to be thinking not so much about what we should be doing, but how we actually go about and set about making disciples. And there's much that we could say on this, and there's much you could say on this, it's important that all that we say about how we go about making disciples is based on the Word of God, because you didn't come here tonight to hear my thoughts. You came to hear what the Bible says about this subject. And we're going to read in John 4 this evening. We're going to use John 4 as our basis as we think about this question. Where do you start? How do you go about making a disciple? I'm going to read in John 4 and reading from verse 1. And in John 4, Jesus sets about making a disciple. Making a disciple out of this woman that he meets at the well in Sychar. And he's very successful, so he is. Because this woman becomes a disciple and she becomes an effective witness for the Lord. Because it says in verse 39 of chapter 4, and many of the Samaritans of that city believed in him because of the word of that the woman testified. So Jesus here is setting about making a disciple out of this woman. And he is successful. So I think there's a lot that we can learn about disciple making, convert making from this passage. John 4 and verse 1. Therefore, when the Lord knew that the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself did not baptize but his disciples, he left Judea and departed again to Galilee. But he needed to go through Samaria. So he came to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near the plot of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied from his journey, sat thus by the well. It was about the sixth hour. A woman of Samaria came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." For his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. Then the woman of Samaria said to him, "How is it that you, being a Jew, ask a drink from me, a Samaritan woman? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans." Jesus answered and said to her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him and he would have given you living water." The woman said to him, "Sir, you've nothing to draw with and the well is deep. Where then do you get the living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as well as his sons and livestock?" Jesus answered and said to her, "Whoever drinks of this water will thirst again. But whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. But the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water, springing up into everlasting life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water that I may not thirst, nor come here to draw." Jesus said to her, "Go, call your husband and come here." The woman answered and said, "I have no husband." Jesus answered her, "You have well said, 'I have no husband,' for you have had five husbands, and the one whom you now have is not your husband. In that you spoke truly." The woman said to him, "Sir, I perceive that you're a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, and you Jews say that in Jerusalem is the place where one ought to worship." Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshippers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father is seeking such to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth. The woman said to him, I know that Messiah is coming, who is called Christ. When he comes, he will tell us all things. Jesus said to her, I who speak to you am he. And at this point, his disciples came and they marveled that he talked with a woman. Yet no one said, what do you seek, or why are you talking with her? The woman then left her water pots, went her way into the city, and said to the men, come, see a man who told me all things that I ever did. Could this be the Christ? Amen. And may God bless and speak to us from his word this evening. So how do you make a disciple? How do you make a convert? Well, as I read John 4, I came to the conclusion that you cannot fast track it. There is no such thing as a method for express disciple making. So there's not. Disciple making is a long process. So it is. And in this passage, we're going to look at the different stages that Jesus went through in order to make a disciple from this woman. And tonight, we're just going to look at the opening verses. And we want to think tonight about this. Before you can make a disciple, you have to make a contact. Before you make a convert, you have to make a contact. And that's all we're thinking about tonight. We're thinking about making contacts. Making contacts. And there's maybe some there tonight and you're maybe thinking, oh, Colin is going soft on the gospel. Colin, just tell us that we have to go out and preach the gospel. Well, I would if that's exactly what Jesus did, but that's not just what Jesus did here. Before he says a word to this woman, certainly before he shares the gospel with this woman, he makes a contact with her. Before you can make a convert, you have to make a contact. I'm just going to ask three questions of this tonight. Who did Jesus make contact with? Where did he make contact with this woman? And how did he make this contact? So, who did Jesus make a contact with here? Well, we see in verse 7, it says, a woman of Samaria came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, give me a drink. So we get some idea as to who he's making this contact with. He's making contact here with a woman from Samaria. And we see in verse 18 that a woman from Samaria, from a different culture, and who had lived a very different life. A very different life. Because we discover from verse 18 that she's had five husbands and she's now living with a man who isn't her husband. So that's who Jesus makes contact with here. A woman from a different culture and who has lived a very different life. That's who Jesus here is making contact with. So it is. It says a woman of Samaria. A woman of Samaria. Remember, Jesus was a Jew. This woman was from Samaria. This woman is from a different culture. This woman is from a different religious background. The difference couldn't be greater, so it couldn't. The woman herself says to Jesus in verse 9, she says, the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Why are you talking to me? Why are you asking me for a drink? And that gives us some idea as to how groundbreaking this contact was for Jesus to contact this woman. A woman from a different culture and a woman who had lived a very different kind of life. You know, in order for Jesus to make this contact with this lady, you know, He risked his own reputation, so he did. And we see that as we read there, whenever the disciples came back in verse 27, the disciples marveled. They were astounded that Jesus was talking to this woman, but they didn't say anything. I mean, this all took place in the open air. It took place just sitting on the side of a well. And people knew who this woman was. People knew about her five husbands. People knew that she was a marriage wrecker. And yet Jesus sits down to make a contact with this dear woman. That's who he makes contact with. And friends, that's who we're to make contact with as well. Not exclusively. We're to make contact with whoever's out there. Whoever we come across. But if it's people like this, we're to make contact with them. So we are for the sake of the gospel. You know, the fact that she was from a very different culture. She was from Samaria and he was a Jew. I mean, that's got great relevance for us today. We live amongst people from different cultures and different religions and different backgrounds. We're not to go past these people. We're to seek to make contact with these people. So we are for the sake of the gospel. You will notice that it was the woman. It was the woman who mentions their differences. Jesus never names them. It's the woman who brings them up first of all in verse 9. Whenever Jesus asks her for a drink. Jesus had said nothing to her about being a Samaritan. He had said nothing about him being a Jew. He hadn't mentioned the differences at all. It's the woman who brings them up. She says, "Why do you ask me for a drink? The Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans." It's the woman who brings them up. Jesus doesn't. Jesus knows she's a Samaritan. He knows that he's a Jew, but that's neither here nor there. That's not important. That's not what matters. It matters to the woman, but it doesn't matter to him. And it shouldn't matter to us. It shouldn't matter to us at all. So it shouldn't. Shouldn't matter what culture they're from. Shouldn't matter what religion they practice. We shouldn't be bothered about that. We need to see these people as people who are made and created in the image of God, created to know God. Jesus didn't bring it up. It was the woman who brought it up. In fact, Jesus played the differences down. He played them down. She's gone on about this thing. You're a Jew, I'm a Samaritan. We don't get on. We're not meant to get on. But Jesus plays it all down in verse 21. The woman starts talking to him about worship. And she says in verse 20, "Our fathers, us Samaritans, we worship on this mountain. You Jews, you say that Jerusalem is the right place to worship." So again, she's highlighting the differences. And Jesus comes in verse 21 and he says, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will neither on this mountain here in Samaria nor in Jerusalem will you worship." Verse 23, "The hour is coming and now is when the true worshippers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father is seeking such to worship him. God is spirit and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth." The woman, she highlights the differences between them. Jesus, he plays down the differences. He listens to her. She's saying, "We worship on this mountain. You guys, you worship there." And it'd been so easy for Jesus to have been drawn into a whole discussion about where the right place is to worship. And Jesus says, "Dear, the time's coming when you'll neither worship on this mountain or that mountain, but you will worship in spirit and in truth." So you will. So Jesus here plays down the differences. And I find that really challenging. So a day, really challenging. For today, for where we live. For the people around us, that we too need to be prepared to go out and make contact with the people around us, no matter what their life has been like, no matter what culture they're coming from, no matter what religion they practice. We need to go out and we need to make contact with these people. We need to sit down in the well with these people. Get to know these people for the sake of the gospel and for the sake of the kingdom. Because that's what Jesus does here. So that's who he makes contact with. And he does it at great risk to his own reputation. A woman from a different culture and who's lived a very different kind of life. I wonder how good are we at making contact with people like that. If you're anything like me, you'll be good at making contact with people like you. We like to make contact with people like ourselves. It's hard to make contact with people, meaningful contact with people who are different from us. Very hard. But Jesus shows here that we must do it. We must do it. It's essential that we do. But then we want to move on and we think about where he made contact with this woman. Where did he make contact? Well, we read in verses 5 to 7 these words. So he came to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near the plot of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied from his journey, sat thus by the well. It was about the sixth hour. A woman of Samaria came to draw water. Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." For his disciples had gone away to buy food. Where does Jesus make contact with this woman? Does he make contact with her in the local synagogue? No, he doesn't. He makes contact with her on her own home turf. He goes to where she is. So he does. He goes to her land. He goes to her city. He goes to her well. So he does. And that's where he makes contact with her. It says he needed to go through Samaria. He came to the town of Samaria called Sychar. Jacob's well was there. Jesus, weary from the journey, he sat in the well and he waited for this woman to come. Where does he make contact? He makes contact on the woman's home turf. So he does. Jesus goes to where she is. Jesus goes to her well. It is her well. It's not his well. We see that in verse 12. As the woman is speaking to him about the well, the woman says to Jesus, "Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself as well as his sons and his livestock?" This isn't Jesus' well. This is her well. This is her city. This is her land. And that's where Jesus makes contact with this woman. He makes contact in her own home turf. What a challenge for the church today. What a great challenge. And at this point, it's possible to raise all kinds of excuses and petitions not to do this, but there's no way getting around it. Jesus went to where this woman was. He went to her city. He went to her well. He sat in her well. And that's where he made contact with this woman. What a challenge for the church today. What a challenge for the church. I believe under the leading and guidance of the Lord, we're putting up a new building to worship God in, that his work might go forth from. But friends, I believe that when we go there, we can't expect people to come in there because it's new and bright. The need will still be the same for us to go out to where they are. To go out and to sit on their well, so to speak. And make contact with them where they are. You know, Jesus makes contact with this woman sitting on a well. That's just beautiful, so it is. You know, you and I, we can make contact with people anywhere, so we can. Anywhere at all. And that's encouraging, so it is. You can make contact with people as you sit down on a bench in the park. can make contact with someone there. Men, when you're out shopping with your wives in the shopping center, you can make contact as you sit on the seat in the mall. And you can make contact with someone there. And you know, if you do, it'll take your mind off the money your wife's spending in the shop. You can make contact. I can make contact with people anywhere. Anywhere at all. Those who play sport, you can make contact with people in the dressing room at halftime. You get the picture? That's where he made contact with this woman. He made contact on her own home turf, in her time, at her well. And that's how it's to be done, I believe. So it is. Jesus knew that later he would say, go into all the world and preach the gospel. Jesus wasn't going to say that and not have done it himself. Jesus went out into all the world with the gospel. That's where he made contact with this woman. I want you to think tonight just about where you be throughout the week. The places you be in. I want you to think, are there places I go where I can make contact with people? I'm not even talking about, are there places I go where I can share the gospel with people? We're not at that stage yet. Are there places I go where I can make contact with people? Where I can sit down, where I can get to know people, where I can rub shoulders with people, and they can get to know me. And I can build a relationship with those people. Where are there places I go that I can do that? Because that's what Jesus does here. He's just sitting down, making contact with this woman. He hasn't mentioned her life yet. He hasn't mentioned her need at all. He's just making contact with her. Not so important. So it is. And then finally we have seen who he made contact with. A different kind of woman from a different culture. We've got to make contact with those people. We have also seen where he made it. And then finally, how did he make it? How did he make it? How did he make this contact? Well, I believe he was very deliberate in making it. I believe he made a conscious decision to make contact with this woman. So he did. Because it says in verse 4, it says he was going to Galilee, but it says he needed to go through Samaria. And there's all kinds of reasons given as to why he needed to go through Samaria. But we'll not get hung up on those this evening. It says he needed to go through Samaria, and he came to Samaria, he came to Sychar, and he came to this well, and that's where he met this woman. He met her because he made that conscious decision to go out and to meet her. He made that conscious decision to go through Samaria and to go into Sychar and to sit on that well. And that's how we make contact with people. We've got to make a conscious decision about it today. I want to contact someone. I want to get to know somebody that possibly in the future I can share the gospel with. We've got to be as deliberate as that. Jesus made the conscious decision to go to Galilee via Samaria and via Sychar. That's why he made contact with this woman. You know, our brother Leslie loved the people of Blackwater Town, and I know for a fact that on occasion Leslie would deliberately go and do his shopping in Haggerty's in Blackwater Town for that very reason, just to make contact with people, just that they would see his face and he would see their face, and that eventually he would get to know them and they know him. That's how we do it. It's as practical and as normal as that, so it is. But we also see here that Jesus used a common interest to make contact. Used a common interest. We see it in verses 6 and 7. It says, now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied from his journey, sat by the well. It was about the sixth hour. A woman of Samaria came to draw water. Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." See the common interest that's used? The woman had come to draw water. What was she interested in? She was interested in water. What does Jesus say to her? He says, "Give me a drink." There's a common interest. There is a link immediately. There is something here that immediately allows a connection to be formed. And it's this common interest, this need for water, this need for a drink. And Jesus uses this common interest that he knows the woman has and he has because he's tired and he's weary. He uses this to form a contact. And there's people better at this than others, so there are. I remember Brother Billy Kennedy. I remember doing the Doors with him when he was over for a time of mission in Shankill. And I remember going round to Shankill with him, and everybody knew Billy from his days of playing with Linfield. And almost every door he went to, straight away, if it was a man who came to the door, he started to talk about Linfield and he started to talk about football. It was hard to take when you're not interested in football. So it was. But Billy wasn't really at that stage that much interested in football either. But Billy saw it as a way of making a contact, of engaging them, of connecting with them. Here was a common interest that he had and they had, and he used it that he might make a contact with them, that he might eventually invite them to the mission and share the gospel with them. What common interests have you with people? What can you use to make contacts with people? Maybe for some it is football. For others it'll be farming. But what is it that you can talk to that person about? They're interested in it. You're interested in it. There's nothing wrong with this. It's good. It's important. It's what Jesus does here. Before he mentions her need, he just says, "Dear, would you give me a drink?" And we're not told what else he said, but maybe they talked about the well for a while. Maybe they talked about the heat of the day. But there's a common interest, and Jesus uses it to connect with this lady. But we also notice here, as we think about how he made this contact, we see in verse 6, Jesus was at the well first, before the lady. And it says he sat there and he waited. He sat and waited. Jacob's well was there. Jesus, wearied from his journey, sat thus by the well. It was about the sixth hour. Then a woman of Samaria came to draw water. He sat and he waited. Well, he knew she was coming. He knew she was coming. So he did. It wasn't that he saw her coming down the road. He was God and he knew that she was coming. But she wasn't there when he went. So he sat and he waited. Sat and waited. Find that challenging. You know, if we're prepared to sit and wait, I believe God will allow us to make contacts with people. Allow us to talk to people about him. Try it sometime when you're in the shopping center. When you're in the mart, appreciate some of you don't go to shopping centers. Sit and wait. You will probably feel a little odd, but just sit and wait. Somebody will come and sit beside you. Then start talking to them about something. Whatever it is. Start talking to them about the price of the cattle today. Start talking to them about the weather. Start talking about anything. Find something that you can talk to them about, but sit and wait. And that's what Jesus does here. And my, the result was amazing. This woman comes. He talks to her, first of all, about the water, about a drink. But then he gets on. And in the end, this woman's life is transformed, and she runs away from the well and leaves her water pots, and she says, "You've got to come I've met a man who's told me everything I've ever done. Could this be the Christ? He sat and waited. Sometimes I don't make contact with people because I'm in too much of a hurry. I'm rushing here and there. At times we just sit and wait. Try it someday. Go out someday and deliberately for that purpose. Just to go out and to be in the public, be in the park, be in the shop, wherever. Be there for the purpose of making a contact, just sitting and waiting for someone to come along. We also notice here something else that allowed Jesus to make this contact. He became a man and weary. He became a weary man. That's why he sat down here. It says he was wearied from his journey. He was wearied from his journey. And he didn't pretend he wasn't. So he didn't. He was weary. And he allowed himself to feel that weariness. And he allowed that weariness to stop him. And to ask for a drink. You know, sometimes as a Christian, I can pretend to people I'm not weary. I can pretend that I'm different from them. I can pretend that everything's fine in my life when it's not. Sometimes we just need to let the guard down. And sometimes we need to sit down and we need to be real and honest with people. As Jesus was here, this woman comes and he says, "Oh dear, I'm so tired. I'm so thirsty. I've been traveling for quite some time and it's really, really hard going." He doesn't pretend everything's okay. He uses his weariness, he uses his humanity to make a contact with this woman. Sometimes we have to allow people to see our humanity. So we do. We have to be real with people. So we do. And honest with them. Because then they identify with us. And then they start to think, you know what? You are like me. And then we can start to talk to them and they will start to talk to us. And a contact can be formed. Before we can make converts, we have to do what Jesus did and go out of our way to make contacts. Contacts with a woman from a very different culture and who had lived a very different kind of life. He made contact with her on her own turf, on her well. That's where he met her. But in order to make that contact, he sat and he waited for her to come. I want to just read a little from the latest edition of the Insight magazine by Shane Dean. You may have already read it. Shane and Luana Dean and their family are church planting in Cork in Passage West. And in the magazine he writes and says this: "Any converts yet in Passage West?" my agnostic uncle asked me. My answer was simple: no, not yet. No converts, but I've had many contacts. When I say contacts, it sounds like a cold word. So let's make things clear. By contacts, I mean people. People made in the image of God. People loved by God. People valued by God. People who need Jesus Christ, God's one and only Son, in their lives. Then he's asked, "How did you make these contacts?" Dean writes, "It started off slowly, as tends to be the case. First I went to the shop. Then I kept going to the same shop again and again. After a while, I got to know some of the workers on a first-name basis. One of the first questions I got asked when I met some of these people was, "What do you do?" This simple question has provided many opportunities. Along this line, I also decided to attend some local meetings in the area. For example, the Residents Association meeting. This got us in contact with a local politician and some people who are very involved in the community in that area. Again, the question I love was asked, "What do you do?" And there's a man in a church planting situation, recognizes the value of making contacts. Making contact with people. People, he says, who are made in the image of God. People who are loved by God. People who are valued by God. People who need Jesus Christ, God's one and only Son, in their lives. He sees the value of making contacts. The contacts in themselves aren't to be an end in themselves. They're only a means to an end. Having made those contacts, there came a point when people started to get to know him and asked him that important, inviting question, "Well, what do you do?" And there we see how making contacts can be used for the glory and the honor of the gospel. May God help us all as we think about making contacts, think about who we can make contacts with. And I have to think really hard about that because I live in a kind of a bubble, so I do. And I can go for a week, a month, and not meet anybody out there. But that's not right. We've got to be very deliberate and make that conscious decision to go out there and to sit and to wait for the purpose of making contacts with people made in the image of God. Let's pray before we sing just in closing.